예수대바이야 First Canto, Chapter 5, Text 26.
26?
38. Oh, I made a mistake. 38. And as you can see, it is a combined effort. Iti
Muti
Abhidanena Mantra
Mutim
Amutikam
Ityam
It Mutya Bidanena
Mantra
Mutim Amatikam
Amutikam,
yes. Yajate yakya purusham
sa samyak dashana
puman
iti
murtya bidanena
mantra
murtim amurtikam yajate yakya purusham
sa samyak
dashana puman iti murtya bidanena mantra murtim amurtikam yajate yakya purusham sa samyak dashana
puman.
Yes, someone else. Vaishnavis, please. Thank you. moment. Abhidhanena.
Abhidhanena.
In sound. Mantramutim.
Mantramutim.
Form representation of transcendental sound.
Form representation of transcendental sound.
Amutikam.
Amutikam.
The Lord who has no material form. Jajate. Worship. Yagya.
Vishnu.
Purusham. The personality of Godhead. Saha.
He alone.
Samyak.
Perfectly.
Dashana.
One who has seen.
Uman.
Person.
Translation. Thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Purport. Our present senses are all made of material elements, and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be realized fully by the sound representation. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? The question is, a person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? This experience is not a vague, impersonal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead, who possesses the pure form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. In the Amara Kosha Sanskrit dictionary, the word Murti carries import in twofold meanings, namely form and difficulty. Therefore, Amurtikam is explained by Acharya Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as meaning without difficulty. The transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Pancharatrika system, which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized Once again, the Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we will first hear from His Holiness Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj something about this verse, then we will continue.
Thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshunmilitam Yenae Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Namo Bhishtam Savitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadadisva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Paragamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Nagunatam Dhanam Vidam Sarivam Sarvetam Savadhutam Hariyana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Nagta Sri Vishakan Vitangsha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askajare Radharine Vamsya Kalpa Tarubhasya Kriva Sindhu Vaivacha Aditanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Ganda Rara Ganda Namostute Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Arreda Gadarada Shri Vasari Govakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Iti murtya vidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam yajate yajna purusham sasamyak darshana praman. Thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu who has no material form. This verse is spoken by Narada. Narada Muni is speaking to Vyasa. And just before this, he has recited a prayer, a pranama mantra. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam vasudevaya dhimahi pradyumnayam niruthaya namasankarshanaya cha. Which is addressing and offering obeisance to the four members of what is sometimes called the Chatur Vyuha, the fourfold divinity, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And this offer of obeisance is hinting that we are speaking here about this particular genre of literature which Srila Prabhupada then refers to in today's purport, namely Pancharatra. And you may remember from that purport, he's saying that Pancharatra is more important than Vedanta. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, famously, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, and Ishvara Puri teaches him, and he gives him a mantra. It actually, we are not told in Chaitanya Charitamrita what that mantra is, but we do know the effect of the mantra, that Lord Chaitanya becomes overwhelmed in ecstatic Krishna prema from chanting that mantra. It's generally understood the mantra he received was the Hare Krishna mantra. Also in that discussion, actually not directly there, yes, it's in chapter 7, Adi Lila. Lord Chaitanya is explaining to his listeners, who are Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers, why it is that he is not associating with them. They are busy, these sannyasis, these Brahmavadi or Mayavadi sannyasis, they're very busy with Vedanta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm very sorry, but my guru told me that I'm not qualified. Murka to me, tomar nahi, Vedanta adhikar. You don't have the adhikar for Vedanta, you are murka. Imagine that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is being told by his guru, you're a fool. So of course this is being said in order to teach us. And so then if Vedanta is not so, if we can't comprehend Vedanta, what to do? Therefore, Narada Muni is hinting, what we have is Pancharatra. And in Pancharatra, what do we learn? We learn how to engage in devotional service, especially with our physical condition, with our conditioning, our physical bodies, our senses, our mind. And we also learn how to use our voice. And of course, this is where the idea of mantra comes in. Now, I want to share with you some very interesting statements about, first of all, mantra, and then the Hare Krishna mantra, which is called a mantra, and at the same time it consists of names, which makes it an unusual sort of mantra. I'm taking the help here from a wonderful article that was written by Vrijvasi Prabhu, who is, I believe he's from Ukraine. He is one of these walking encyclopedias of Vedic knowledge. He's a member of the Shastra Advisory Council, and you can just ask him anything about Shastra, and he will say, oh yes, that is stated in, and then he'll tell you some obscure Shastra, not just that, but the commentary on that Shastra. he's like that. So he's written one article on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which was published in the Journal of Vaishnava Studies. It's quite extensive and detailed elaboration on the meaning and significance of this mantra, and takes many different angles, and we certainly won't have time to go through all of it. But a few interesting points I want to mention, interesting and I think relevant for us. First of all, the subject of mantra in general. What is mantra? It's traditionally defined in Sanskrit as mananat trayate yasmat tasman mantra pratyutita. That which delivers one from unwanted occupation of the mind is known to be a mantra. So that which delivers us from unwanted occupation, or we may say preoccupation of the mind, that is known as mantra. Then in the Medini Kosha, which is standard Sanskrit thesaurus, it's giving many different synonyms of Sanskrit, it says, mantra veda visheshosya devaninam cha sadhanam. Mantra is a particular part of a Veda, or a process of worshipping the gods and others. Yeah, that's kind of, okay, what is that supposed to mean? It's, for us to appreciate, it's a process. And what sort of process? It's a process for worshipping, and Pancharatra in particular is all about worship. Pancharatra is how it is that we are given access to the Lord, in particular through the worship of the Murti form of the Lord. So we come before the Lord and we worship Him here in the temple, Shishi Radha Madanmohan. We know about this from, and we understand from Pancharatra literature. I'm going to take this off, much as I appreciate it, because it's confusing my machine here a little bit. Okay. So Murti, and in the verse we have Iti Murti Abhidanena Mantra Murti Amurti Kam. There's a kind of play on the word Murti. Murti means form, but we read in the purport it also means difficulty. But mantra murtim amurtikam, when you put the prefix a before a Sanskrit word, typically it negates, and which is different from long a, but the short a, amurti. So it's not difficult. It's not difficult to chant Hare Krishna. It's easy to chant Hare Krishna. And so this makes this Maha Mantra very special, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Mantra is generally understood to be in a particular form. It includes what is called a bija. Bija means seed. And so it will have, for example, the bija syllable Om, and it will have some expression of worship in the form of either Namaha or Svaha, and it will have the name of the personality we are worshiping in a particular grammatical form, what in English we would call the dative case, the Chaturthi form. So, for example, we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Right? That's a mantra, because it has the name Vasudeva in the dative case. That Aya at the end makes it the dative case. Unto Vasudeva. It's a bit formal. And it's actually a bit indirect also. We won't go into a whole Sanskrit grammar lesson, but the point is that with the Maha Mantra, we have a different grammatical case. We have the vocative case, sometimes called Sambodhana, which means calling out when you want to call out a person. Call a person to get their attention. In Sanskrit, you have a certain form of the name to do that. Fortunately, in Sanskrit, this is very simple. So for the name Krishna, all we have to say is Krishna. If we were to refer to Krishna in the third person, we would say Krishnaha. Or if we were referring to Krishna as object, we would say Krishnam. Or if we were saying that by means of Krishna, the world is created, we would say Krishnena, and so on. But here we just have to say Krishna. And similarly, Rama. We're addressing, we're actually calling out to the Lord. And the same is the case for this third very interesting word, Hare, which is has a double. It's referring to it's the vocative form of two names. One is Hari and the other is Hara. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that it's referring to Hara. And who is Hara? Hara is none other than Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada explains about this vocative case of the Maha Mantra. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur explains. And allow me to read. That very teaching that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the world, we received from our guru in the form of mantra. What our guru gave us is not an ordinary mantra, but a maha mantra. That which delivers one from anxiety and excessive intellectual reasoning is called mantra. From excessive intellectual reasoning is useful, but excessive intellectual reasoning can be a problem. Ordinary mantras are, and he explains what I said, in the dative case and contain such words as nama, svaha, or swadha, etc. While maha mantra is in the vocative case. The holy name of the Lord is maha mantra. The holy name contains such potency that cannot be found in any other object whatsoever. That's a pretty strong statement, worth repeating. The holy name contains such potency that cannot be found in any other object whatsoever. When I first joined the devotees in Heidelberg, in Germany, I met Shivananda. And Shivananda was the first preacher in Europe from America. And I asked him, so what is with this mantra you're chanting, you always repeat it? What is the result of this? And he said, oh, this maha mantra, it is very powerful. I was convinced, I was ready to join, just him saying that with such conviction. But yes, this is what I'm looking for. Okay, there's more about how the Maha Mantra is a mantra. And then we come to how it is the Yuga Dharma, and this you'll be familiar with, Krishnam Arnam, Tvisha Krishnam, Sangopangastra Parshadam, Yajnyai, Sankirtana Prayai, Yajantihi Sumedasam. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna, although his complexion is not blackish. He is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. And this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not, you know, some just Gaudiya Vaishnava invention. This is from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, someone may say, well, yes, that's all right, but we're not finding the Maha Mantra in Shruti. We find it in Smriti. But no, we also find it in Shruti, and in particular it's found in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. And it has to be said that this is the only Upanishad that gives the entire Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's a very short Upanishad. It has altogether, it's in prose form, so it's like paragraphs altogether, three paragraphs. You could divide it into 13 shlokas, which would make it even shorter than the Ishopanishad. And this mantra is, Upanishad, Kali Santarana Upanishad, is the subject is what to do in the age of Kali, because Dwapara Yuga is ending. Narada, who we've heard from, has approached Lord Brahma and he's asked him what is to be done to overcome the evil effects of this age of Kali. And Brahma replies, one can do so by chanting the name of Narayana, but he was asked again by Narada, which names exactly should one chant? And Brahma says to Narada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti. The word iti is, in Sanskrit, it's like quotation marks. So, this Hare Krishna mantra, iti shodashakam nam nam kali kama shanashanam nata na ata parataro upaya paratara upaya. Upaya means a means, a process. Na ata, there's no higher, there's no other process. Sarva vedeshu drishite, you can look through all the Vedas. You can spend all your life doing that. And in effect, Brahma is saying, I'm going to save you a lot of time. You don't have to look through all the Vedas. I'm telling you. Because Lord Brahma says, it's said in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma studied the Vedas three times. So he might know. And he's saying, there's no need. Now, someone may doubt that this Hare Krishna mantra as given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, actually, you'll hear this sometimes, people will say, it doesn't start out Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It starts out Hare Rama, Hare Rama, and then goes to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna in the second line. Now, first of all, we can say, what's the difference? Because even if you start with Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, it comes to the same, doesn't it? You're going to end up with the same number of words. Still, there is some discussion about this. Rich Bhasi Prabhu explains the most widely known explanation of this issue was expressed by Krishnadas Babaji, who lived in the first part of this 20th century, in his book Sri Maha Mantra Vyakyashtakam. There he argues that since in Kali Yuga the Vedic process of purification does not work. And even brahmanas are like shudras. Then not so many people are actually eligible to read Shrutis. And Kalisantarana Upanishad belongs to Shrutis. And practice mantras given there. At the same time, Puranas, Tantras, and Agamas refer to the Mahamantra as starting with Hare Krishna. Understanding this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the latter version of the Mahamantra from the Agamas. In other words, the mantra beginning Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thus giving everyone the benefit of its chanting and at the same time respecting the rules given in the Shrutis regarding the eligibility. So this is a kind of, it's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And we accept, who is Lord Chaitanya? He is none other than Krishna. So if Krishna decides we're going to do it this way because it's the age of Kali, then who is to argue with that? Just a little more about the Mahamantra. He discusses this Chaitanya Upanishad. You may wonder, sometimes it's asked, what about this Chaitanya Upanishad, which appears in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings? So here's a little explanation. Another Shruti, Chaitanya Upanishad from the Atharva Veda, which was published by Kedarnath Datta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in 1887, also refers to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What appears to have been a single manuscript of this Upanishad was sent to Kedarnath by a devotee named Madhusudan Das from Sambalpur, Odisha. Well, and then there's a footnote to this. And the footnote explains that there was a whole treasure trove of texts that were previously unknown from the Atharva Veda, which were found in this someplace in Odisha. So it may be obscure, but this doesn't make it the less valid. Therein, Brahma tells Pipalada about the upcoming advent of the Supreme Lord as Sri Chaitanya, who will chant the confidential mantra of his own names. Sa eva mula mantram japati harir iti, Krishna iti, Rama iti. Sometimes mantras will be given in a sort of obscure form because the understanding is you shouldn't just be broadcasting mantras here and there. They are meant to be received from Guru. And it's interesting, I think, to note that you will not find anywhere in the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, within the verses, of course, in Prabhupada's purports, you'll find many times the Mahamantra, especially in chapter 8 of Adi Lila, but nowhere in the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita verses do you find the entire Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Why is that? One can reflect on that. One does find the entire Mahamantra in Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat. In any case, it is a mantra which is called Mahamantra, and therefore sometimes it is taken to be hidden. Let me give some more references. Here we go. Someone may doubt, because as I said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we don't have the whole mantra. We usually hear, read, the Lord chanted Hari Hari. Hari Hari.
Hari
Hari. Hari
Hari. Hari Hari.
And indeed, it is very possible that the Lord was chanting Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
However, there is evidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the Maha Mantra, and it goes like this. It comes from Shri Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita, to be distinguished from the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj. The Shri Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Murari Gupta. It's the first of the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was written in Sanskrit. Murari Gupta was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, especially in his youth, and so he personally witnessed the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this work he writes, Grihe vasan prema vidinna daryam Rudatyalam roti mahur mahusvanai Sabe patur gad gadaya gira lapatyalam Hare Krishna Hare mudak vachit. While dwelling in his home, his gravity was sometimes broken by his sentiments of love for Sri Krishna. At times he would weep, at other times he would repeatedly make thundering sounds. At times his body trembled, and at other times he would joyously utter with faltering voice, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In another reference, where is this from? This is possibly Chaitanya. No, this is Chaitanya Bhagavata. Okay, here we go. The Lord said, this is written down in this book. The Lord said, I have told you the Maha Mantra. All of you chant this mantra according to a prescribed number. Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shobar sarva khan, that is kshana, sarva khana bala ite vidhi nahi ar. Everyone will attain all perfection by it. At every moment chant it. There is no other rule. The key expression here is sarva kshana, at every moment. Prabhu mukhe mantra bhai shobar ulas dandava karishave chale nijavaswa. Everyone became joyful after receiving this mantra from the Lord's mouth. After offering obeisances, they all returned to their respective homes. And finally, from Prabodhananda Sarasati Thakur, from his Vrindavana Mahimamrita, Hare Krishna Krishneti Krishneti Mukyan Mahascharya Namavali Siddha Mantran Kripa Murti Chaitanya Deva Devopagotan Kada Yasya Vrindavane Syang Kritartha. When will I attain all perfection of life in Vrindavan by chanting the Siddha mantra of very wonderful names? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
actually, the verse just says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. That came from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, who is compassion personified. So this is a prayer which is in the form, it's a lalasa mayi prayer. It's a prayer expressing longing. When will that day come?
Emergency. Restroom. I mean, really?
Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Just now coming. So then maybe I will read one more verse. But this is very nice, expressing the longing that we want to feel as we are chanting.
When, oh when, will that day be mine? Kave habe bolo sedin amar.
Huh? What is it? Trinadi gahin hin kave nije mani sahishnuta guna ridoye deyani. Like that. When will that day be mine? When I will have that mood. Trinada bisumi jena tarori vasahishuna amanina manadina kirtanya sadarai. Kave habe bolo sedina amar. When will that day be mine? Amar means mine. Sedin, that day. Kave, when? Kave habe. When will it be? So this is called a rhetorical question. It's not exactly asking for an answer, and yet we would like to know the answer, wouldn't we? It's like, you know, if we would hear an invisible voice, you would say, Kabe habe bolo sedinamar, and then you would hear an invisible voice that says, 1 week from now. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yes, well, as I said, this is with the aid of the collection of references. There is actually so much more in this article from Rich Basi Prabhu. He's done a wonderful labor of love to bring all of this together to help us to appreciate that what we are doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna is, it's the right thing to do. If you meet someone and they say, what are you doing, this Hare Krishna mantra chanting? What is all of this? You can say to them, what? You are not chanting Hare Krishna? Everyone chants Hare Krishna. It's all over the Vedas. Everyone knows. It's the Yuga Dharma. Where have you been? Wake up! Yes. Hare Krishna Krishneti Krishneti Mukyam Mahascharya Nama Vali Siddha Matran Kripa Murti Chaitanya Devopagotan. Yes. Kadam Yasya Vrindavane Syam Kritartha. When will I attain all perfection of life in Vrindavan by chanting the Siddha mantra of very wonderful names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, that came from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, who is compassion personified.
Wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
Well spoken, well spoken.
Is this the journal of Vaishnava studies, isn't it?
Journal of Vaishnava studies.
Yeah, but which number?
Oh, I'll have to check.
Oh, very good.
Now I'm going to follow in the footsteps, and I will be right back.
Please.
Older men's bodies, they
But we also drink buckets of water. That is another thing. please. Very well spoken. Really, thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to listen to you. And yes, we feel assured and confirmed and safe now. Thank you very much. So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
And together,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe.
Hare Krishna. Really wonderful explanation, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. So, this verse tells us, thus he is the actual seer. You know, he has a revelation. He knows, he has seen. Thus he is the actual seer, who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Now it is very, very difficult to, if not even impossible, to realize Krishna, who is absolutely spiritual, with the material senses. It is not within the gross, the capability of gross material senses to understand something which is entirely beyond its scope. For instance, the eyes will never be able to see the thoughts. So it's just not possible for the eyes to see the subtle energy, because they are much more gross, the subtle energy of thoughts. In the same way, the material senses can not at all grasp that which is categorically of a different category. Can you understand this this point? In a way, our tongue cannot chant Hare Krishna, my dear devotees. Our ears can't hear Hare Krishna. But what can happen is that Krishna can reveal himself or manifest himself according to his will. He can descend, so to say. We, with our material senses, cannot ascend to Krishna. It's like climbing up raindrops, trying to climb up raindrops to reach the cloud. But the Lord can descend and reveal himself. This is made very clear by Rupa Goswami, who has written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Napavet Krayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. In the first part of his verse, he repeats this inability of the material senses to understand Krishna. He says, therefore, he's given an argument before this, to which he refers, therefore material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. The Sanskrit word is grayam. They can't capture, no? They can't procure, they can't fathom. When a conditioned soul, however, is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Let me make it very clear with Krishna is in the transcendental realm, spiritual world. We can't go there by airplanes, we can't go there by subways or by ships, but Krishna can descend into our heart as we chant, and then this very important, purifies the heart, so that in a purified heart, a spiritual awakened heart, it is possible to actually realize him. It's like this: the king will never walk on a dirty street, but imagine the king dressing up like a street sweeper, coming, cleaning the street, and then he says from the palace, I'm coming now. And then he comes through the cleansed street, through the cleansed street. So Krishna, in his mercy, takes on the form of the holy name, which we can chant with our present senses. And as we chant this form, chant Krishna's name, then it really can work and purify our heart. In one commentary to the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, this is explained in more detail. It is said that Ishvara, the Supreme, can be realized through meditative absorption, that is done in the Eightfold Processes of Yoga, or he also can be appreciated by chanting the names which designate him. Let me put this microphone there. And how does this work? Well, Ishvara comes into this name with his transcendental potency, almost like fire comes into an iron ball, and then the iron ball stops to be being cold iron, but becomes glowing hot. And if you have contact with this fireized iron, you can also have the effect of fire. In the same way, if you have the names which are Ishvarized, you know, a sound vibration where the Lord is present, then in his association, then you are immediately purified, you're Ishvarized also. You're becoming transcendentally mad. Hare Krishna. Once again, thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Now, Narada Muni is not a theoretical speaker, but a very practical speaker. You remember when he left his home village after his mother had been found with a snake bite, dead on the field, where she had gone to milk the cow. Narada Muni quickly arranged a funeral for his mother and then started to walk. He left the village and he finally stopped under a banyan tree where he chanted a mantra which he had received on the way from Lord Shiva. And he, at the end of this chanting, when he was purified, the Lord actually appeared to him in transcendental sound. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said the Lord actually came and danced in his heart. He first heard the sound vibration of his tinkling ankle bells. Very soft. Krishna's inside here, maybe. Yes. My secret. The ankle bells he heard, and then he from afar, then he smelled the wonderful fragrance of the Lord, and then finally he became aware of the Lord's smile, and the Lord looked at him for a moment, but then disappeared. Narada Muni was grief-stricken. Imagine we doing a kirtan, we first see the Lord when Adiras is singing. Wow! And he has appeared in our heart and is directly visible to us, and then he disappears. We would all transform this temple room with an ocean of tears into a very, very wet place. this
is good.
Yeah, it's good. So yes, but then the Lord spoke to him and said, "I regret this in this life. I will not appear again before you, but one time is enough, because by this I have increased in you the necessary qualification for you to chant, and that is, can anyone imagine? You are very new to all of this, I think. Yes, the eagerness. He wants to see again. And that is the quality for someone who chants. You must do so with an eagerness. Narada Muni describes his experience here. Thus, so then the Lord who had spoken to him and who said, one time of my appearance is enough because you are now hankering. Now you have the qualification. Now you will, and you will certainly purify your heart by this eagerness. I've once appeared, this was in, to give you a taste, then I've disappeared to leave you with the taste of eagerness. Now, I think many of us would be very happy if we would have the taste of eagerness, because we all know in the eager moments of our lives, when we are really ablaze with eagerness, when we really want, then everything is easy. But when we become dull, everything becomes difficult. So Narada Muni was now qualified. He says, Namanyanantasya hatu trapapatan. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation again and again, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. That means he was sometimes dancing on the street, laughing like a madman, you know, maybe dancing like our devotees yesterday danced. Ooh, very convincing dancing. And so on. I was ignoring all the formalities of the material world. He chanted in the bus, if there would be the bus, you know, loud, but there are no buses at that time. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. It gives you a benediction. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble and unenvious. Wouldn't that be nice, my dear devotees, to be finally free, to walk all over the world without concerns, fully satisfied in our heart, humble and not envious with anyone, towards anyone. So he's describing his experience. He says, and thus I travel constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating the instrument called Veena. He's an instrumentalist, which is charged with transcendental sound and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna said, you are now chanting here, here you have your instrument, the Veena. And he says, we were hearing there's a benediction if one chants like this. And he says here, what is this benediction? Pragayasva viryani tirtapada priyashravaha ahuta iva me shikram dashanam yati chetasi. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. Amazing. Narada Muni is starting to chant. And then that realization, the descent, which happens when one worships the Lord who is without form, material form, is happening. His spiritual form appears on the seat of the heart. At the end, Narada Muni, in order to really, really impress us all with this process, he says, it is personally experienced by me. I have seen this. Believe me, I'm not just a philosopher, a theoretical speaker, I'm a practical speaker. It's personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nations in a most suitable boat. The constant activities, the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. So isn't that nice? Like yesterday we saw Radha Madan Mohan in the swan boat. Would you not also like to sit in the boat and cross the ocean of anxieties? Of course, you would do by chanting. Now, I wanted to just speak now practically also. The chanting is a process that can help us crossing material life. It can help us solve all our material and spiritual problems. This process is given also in the Upanishads. Upanishads is Shruti, isn't it? Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj? The Mundaka Upanishad is explaining. The Om, you know, the transcendental sound vibration, is the bow. The Self is the arrow. The Supreme Person is the target. A sober person should make himself like an arrow. I like this analogy, which is also given in the same way in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 42. The bow and analogy, because I find that this gives us a good cue how to make our chanting successful, how to come to a level where we really are experiencing this, these blessings. When you use a bow, you first take aim, then you make this effort of pulling the string. You know, there's a lot of effort. It takes muscular power to pull the string. And then you let go of the arrow. In chanting, you also need to be mindful that you're calling for Krishna. Prabhupada said, chanting should be done like a sincere crying of the child for its mother. I find this is, let us say, maybe the most important reason why some of our devotees are slow in making spiritual advancement. They see the chanting not in relationship to Krishna. They see it, let's have fun, let's good melodies, nice rhythms, dancing, and we are all together in this, and so on. It's really not a social activity. It's not like other music events where we play and make music. It's a worship of Krishna, a calling out for Krishna, really. Every archer has to begin with, where do I want my arrow to go to? In the same way, every chanter of every mantra, whatever mantra he uses, has to be mindful of the devatas of the mantras, of the lords of the mantras. And in this case, it is Radha and Krishna, the divine couple. It's a Yugal mantra. No? Then you need to make an effort. Like an archer makes an effort to use his bow properly. He draws the bowstring back with all his strings. The serious chanter has to also make an effort. He needs to focus his mind effort with the body. He needs to pronounce the mantra. Let's start with the easy stuff. He needs to sing very nicely. He may clap with his physical hands. He may dance graciously or sit straight. He focuses. Huh? Then what does he do with his voice? He pronounces the mantra really clearly, and with his ears he listens to the sound vibration. Each mantra, he wants to be present-minded, not absent-minded. It's an effort. And with his heart, we have also emotions, no? We are putting them to Krishna. For the moment, don't stay in your normal emotional state, where the emotions are very powerful. They make up moods in which we are. When you sit down, you all have a certain world which you brought with you. Each one of you is a little universe. Like Yoko Ono, he once said, it may appear that between my ears is very little space, but the whole universe fits there. Artistic rendition of describing the mind as very, very vast. So that vastness you have to bring to the chanting, not just your body. The real universe is here in between the ears, the mind. So that is an effort. But then, my dear devotees, you need to let go of the arrow. Haridas Thakur explains this very nice, this letting go. One must make an effort, and then with an earnest heart one should beg for mercy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur recites such a prayer of the chanter. O Lord, your mercy makes everything easy. Therefore, I approach you and with heartfelt words, I beg for your mercy. Let Krishna do everything. Let the mantra do everything. No need to be any longer in the effort mood. Let the mantra take you away. Let the mantra take you away. Let the mantra do this, because Krishna is there. I want to end here. I want to really end with saying this. Krishna does the magic in your life. Have faith in Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. He's there in the holy name. Let him do the magic. Prabhupada said this once in Los Angeles. He expresses it so nice. The magic will be done by Krishna, not by me or you. He will do it. He is not a liar. He is not inefficient. He is strong, and he is sufficiently opulent. No? He's not a liar. He's not inefficient. He's strong. He's sufficiently opulent. He can do that. So believe in Krishna's word and surrender unto him. And don't spoil this human form of life. Yeah, this is the serious chanter will say, okay, I have done my best. I have focused myself on Krishna. I'm here at the Kirtan Mela. I'm looking at the deities. I have arrived here. Now, when you chant at home, you can chant best before your altar. And yes, I have made my little insignificant effort. Drawn the bow to the best of my abilities. Now I let go. I surrender into your hands, O holy name. Please, you purify my impure heart so that I can see the Lord there appearing. that is chanting. Hare Krishna. We have to end here. Thank you, Maharaj. It's such a pleasure. We are complimentary. You are very nicely explaining and clearing all our doubts first. That is very useful. Should we? Now we are a little in a time situation, isn't it?
A time situation.
Maybe you can, if there's one or two questions which we will have to answer briefly. Yes, Roddy Kodanj.
Thank you so much both for your addresses and kind words. From your practical experience in the years you've had in Krishna consciousness, I want to ask something about longevity and what's kept you fixed in chanting for so many years, because it feels that in just the short period of time that in trying, it's almost like in Bhagavatam was described, you're patiently waiting while going through life's tribulations. But so much of the time, patiently knocking on the door, there's no answer on the other side.
Yeah.
You try the process, you try your best, you give your best. And there may be small moments, and I feel like I'm clutching onto those small moments whilst patiently waiting. So what has kept you fixed for so many years to keep trying and keep trying? Does the door eventually open? And
How nice you're speaking, Radhika. Can we all understand what he says? Knocking, 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 no answer. After some time we will go some other place. It's not, no one is in there or is not interested to open the door. So devotees also may feel trying so hard. But have you ever seen Krishna? There are poems about this, you know. I will tell you privately my favorite poem about this. There's no time now, it's a long poem. Well, you asked for an experience. I can only say that I was desperate after 20 years because of this situation, knocking, knocking, knocking. And I had not joined ISKCON because I wanted to be in a spiritual organization. I joined ISKCON despite of ISKCON. It is a different thing. It was culturally almost intolerable for me to stay and with the devotees. They were really different. I'm not saying I'm better or they are worse. They were just very different. With this desperation, something needed to be done. I studied very intensely the teachings of Prabhupada. I wanted to know, what does he say to this? What is his actual process which he has given us for God realization and Krishna realization? And I then found out it's the chanting. It's not meditational processes or anything. And then I made a study of how to chant and improve my chanting, and went through his literature, through the Gaudiya literature, and found and became interested. I will make for sure that I get this article with Krishna Chaitra Maharaj has in his property, because I'm so interested in this. This is my most, I need to nourish my conviction, my belief, so to say, that chanting will do it, and I apply everything immediately, and I can say from my experience that I do now, I'm really convinced that the process works. You know, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we are like, I hope it works. You know? then after some time we say, maybe it works. And after some, and then after more time we say, I know it works. So I'm approaching slowly this, I know it works. And it give, it's like a little light which has opened. Spiritual life, you must first of all understand, is not cheap. It's a cheap, quick fix for a conditioned soul who is since so many times conditioned, be immediately suspicious. It may work. Hindi in learn Hindi in 30 years. 30 days. It may work. I don't know. For me, I tried, but it didn't work, and I gave up. But I'm not talented for learning anything. So
30 years, you might actually learn Hindi.
Yeah, 30. Or you know, becoming slim in the belly. After
6 days,
you know, it may work. I can't imagine. It may work. But whenever you hear quick steps to Vrindavan, quick steps into the eternal world, crash course, come to me. I'm a true Rasika Bhakta. You should be. You say, Hare Bhava, yes. May you prosper. May everything, all the best for you. So. So this is what I can honestly say. I'm just very convinced that this works, but I think I needed to come to this abyss first, where I thought, where do I go from here? What do I do now? And yes, it's hard. It's be ready. It's the always know, Radhika Ranjan, you can't get something higher if you don't give up something lower. You can't climb a staircase if you're not, and go there, if you're not willing to give up the pleasures, or the pleasures, not about giving up pleasures, the state of consciousness of the lower level. Du weißt doch viel mehr.
No, you have spoken from experience.
No. We can hear your singing, and we know it's not theoretical singing.
But I must say, I became very curious. What is inside your me bag?
Tingle. Privately, I will show you.
Okay. Yes.
Not before. I'm a little shy. Not before everyone.
Well, Satchinanda Maharaj said it all. I would just add from my, because you are asking for experience. For me, it really has been the inspiration of connection. Some sense of connection with more senior devotees and seeing how they are marching forward. I think many of us have felt that Srila Prabhupada is like a general of an army, and we have been his foot soldiers. And foot soldiers, they do, Prabhupada used the expression, they do the needful. I always liked that expression, do the needful. If we think about that, what is needed? Something is needed, and it also suggests that it is left for us to use our intelligence. Prabhupada used to say, use your brain. Use your brain. It's left for us to work out the details of how we do the needful. And of course, all the resources are provided for us. We just then have to put it all together. When I was a child, sometimes on a rainy day, we would put together jigsaw puzzles. You know, you have experience, I think. Yes. You know this jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah.
So, and when you put the pieces, first you're just getting a lot of disconnected pieces and they don't seem to relate to each other. But when you gradually work out which piece fits with which, it starts to make a picture. And the more the picture is filled out, it actually goes more and more quickly, the process of making the puzzle, until you have it all. All the pieces, you find it, like everything fits. Ah, now I see. So this is something, I don't know if this analogy works, but it just came to my mind. We're hearing, like we hear, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Hridaye Goryo Aikya Satatamba Jivo Pranamaje. Hearing the words of Sadhu Shastra and Guru, Hridaye Goryo Aikya, it becomes a Aikya, which comes from the word Eka, which means one. It becomes a single experience in the heart. Satatam bhajiva prema maje. Then I can float in the ocean of prema. So, in my own case, here's a piece. Finally, I see how this piece fits with that piece. Ah, this piece, another one. More and more, the picture is coming. But I think it's all because, as Maharaj said, despite how we may feel about institution, despite everything, the devotees, the persons, the personalities, are keeping me going. I remember, this is kind of related, but when I first joined the temple, one of the senior ladies, she was an excellent cook. She used to say how she found it difficult sometimes to continue to stay with the devotees, such that sometimes around the middle of the week she would say, "I can't take it anymore, I'm leaving." This feeling would come to her maybe on a Wednesday, but then she would think, "Well, let me wait until Sunday for the Sunday feast. I'll stay long enough to the Sunday feast, and then I will leave." And so she would stay until... So she lived from one Sunday feast to the next, in effect. You have to understand, Sunday feast in those days meant at least 15 preparations. I mean, you know, it was a real feast. But so Rupa Goswami, perhaps anticipating this feeling, what does he say? Utsahan nischaya dairya. And that dairya, that patience, is, you could say also, it's like sometimes if you travel, you're going somewhere and there may be some stretch of desert, and so you're not going to stay in the desert, so you have two choices: either you continue on beyond the desert or you turn around and you go back. But if you go back, how can you go back once you've gotten something of the taste of Krishna bhakti, association of devotees, prasadam, the holy name,
how can one go back? Not possible. So we just keep going. And as I was saying, Kave Habe Bolo, we keep that. It's a culture of anticipation. We're anticipating. And I was going to talk about this later, but there was a novel, 19th century, Charles Dickens, called Great Expectations. So we have great expectations, and we should keep the expectation, not as a demand, you know, expecting from Krishna something, but expecting to become successful in spiritual life. Again, affirmation, I am becoming successful in my spiritual life. So, I think now...
Yes. We will have to end here because otherwise we can't maintain anything. Please do take your prasadam now, and we continue at 10 o'clock in the temple room with the Kirtan Mela and the concluding little celebration. Please remember you're still here. Please don't think of leaving now. We want to bring this together to an end. We want to continue, in other words, until the end. I wish you a good breakfast, and please be back here on time. Hare Krishna.